when we first started, we mentioned that the priest is in reference to things pertaining to God, and with the view that we might be able to draw near to God. And this is would be a place to transition. How can man draw near to God, man being so sinful, God being so holy? In the first priesthood under Aaron, there were these sacrifices. And in fact, as we mentioned, you get these glimpses of priestly activity, individuals who would offer sacrifices because they were very conscious of the holiness of God and their own shortcoming. And so what we have when we transition now to the perfect work of the Lord Jesus in this priestly characteristic, we had the question earlier and we can just revisit it again. He by himself offered one sacrifice. Aaron and his sons offered countless number of sacrifices over and over and over again. And there was always the remembrance or the reminder of their shortcoming. Because they had to do it again. They had to do it again. The superiority of the work of Christ as our high priest, he offered one sacrifice once for all. And he offered himself. So as we can meditate on that, it then gives us a greater appreciation of what this grace we've just been singing about, of how his work so satisfied the righteous and holy demands of God that he only had to do it once. It met that demand, and now it opens out the pale of grace that we can draw near.
Just a suggestion that maybe we didn't really touch on it before. There's a word in Hebrews, it's the word perfection. Having been perfected, we didn't, I don't think we mentioned it, but it really has to do with what qualifies and what qualified the Lord Jesus to have this present position as great high priest. And it says in Hebrews chapter 2, in reading it in verse 10, where it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And then also in chapter 5, it says in verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, that's the Lord Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him out of death and was heard and that he feared because of his piety. Though he were son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that of them that obey him. So this idea of being made perfect is having done everything by which he is now qualified to be in that position as great high priest. So when he was on earth, he offered up prayers, he offered himself. That was in characteristic as a high priest. But the official position as a Melchizedek priest was in resurrection. It had to be in resurrection because that's the power of endless life. That's the kind of priesthood he has. And so it's really beautiful to see, though, that having all done all these things, having suffered in flesh while he was here, having had this great and deep exercise of soul, offered up prayers and supplications, he, and having passed through everything, having, as you mentioned, having been tempted at all points, sin apart, having done all of this, he is fully suited and qualified to function as this great high priest. So it actually, there were moral things that took place in the Lord's experience that qualified him to be in this position.
And I think, John, that would be secondary, because what we want to talk about in the first case is this atoning work.
Right.
Because in his atoning work, it's separate and distinct from everything that was done in the first priesthood and Aaron's priesthood. Those sacrifices, what is it, could never take away sin. His one sacrifice put away sin forever. I think we need to gain an appreciation of that. I think it's important because the next part is about the things that qualify him to that we can identify with him so that we can have assurance and comfort as he ministers in that office. But I think we need to really appreciate the atoning work of the one sacrifice a little bit, because I think we perhaps get lazy or don't discipline our minds to truly understand the depth of what sin is and what it took to satisfy God's holiness in this atoning work. One sacrifice. All the blood of bulls and goats on Jewish altar slain could not give the conscience peace or wash away its stain. Christ's one sacrifice makes it so that we can now draw near.
Just a thought, you know, in reading through the Old Testament, I've been struck recently by how many sacrifices were made. Morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice, Sabbath, monthly. I mean, these people had to have a lot of animals. I mean, seriously, they must have had a lot of flocks to be able to actually continually maintain this. It just amazes me, and others maybe can comment on that. But
or a lot of birds, yes. Because if you could not go to afford an animal. I mean, and I think that's a really important point. To link on that very statement, unless we understand the depth of sin, we'll never understand the height of the atonement work that the Lord Jesus have done. The fact of the matter is that for every sin, imagine today, man, I gotta have like, I don't know, a warehouse full of flocks for, you know, for everything. This is just, how great is the work of Christ? But it's not only man work. The great work of Christ, the offer, is also God work. Because sin have impacted the throne of God. The rights of God. Everything that God stands for, the holiness of God, was impacted as a result of sin. And all of these offering that was offered from the time of Adam's sin till the cross of Christ could not do anything. It covered it for a little bit. But then it had to be repeated time after time after time. But God's holy wrath on sin was seen in those 3 hours in a way. One should say even greater than the flood that came upon the earth in the time of Noah. All of his waves and bells came upon the Lord Jesus. Because again, God's throne need to be vindicated. God's righteous demand need to be met. And man's sin need to be covered once and for all. But not only that, we need to keep in mind in Hebrews, the idea there about our sin is the idea of defilement. Because had made, chapter 1, because again, Hebrews really, the epistle to the Hebrews does not deal with the matter of sin. That's settled completely in chapter 1. Having made by himself a purification for sin. That's Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Have made by himself a purification for sin. Because sin in the book of Hebrews has to do with defilement. Now, when you come to chapter 6, if there is a sin now willingly, that's an apostasy, but that's not really the matter, or the priesthood doesn't deal with that. But we need to keep in mind that in chapter 1, sin as defilement dealt with completely now. And the matter of holiness comes in. So now, as a result of that, he's able to come to us having, you know, made a purification for our sin, sat himself down at the right hand in the majesty on high. So to understand the depth of sin, the defilement that sin have caused the whole universe for God, have covered man, that defilement, the filthiness that needed to be covered, that was abhorring to the nostrils of God. He looked around, violence and corruption. Look around you today, nothing else but violence and corruption from within and from without. And therefore, the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross, that offering that he had offered, satisfied the holy demand of God once and for all. And therefore, the eternal security of the believer is sure. God is satisfied with Jesus. The atonement work is done. The payment for my sin is taken care of. God is not going to come back again and say, you still have to pay for it. It's done once and for all. This is the greatness of the work of Christ on the cross. God's word and man's word.